Good morning, Covenant family. On Sunday, Brent led us in a consideration of Jesus' interaction with a Samaritan woman at a well. He suggested that Jesus didn't just meet her there, but that he was likely waiting there for her. That seems to be a great reading of the passage. But there's something else before Jesus being at the well that makes thinking about Jesus waiting for her even more compelling to me. Today, we're going to consider what led Jesus to this well, in this place at this time. This is the Covenant Weekly for February 3rd, 2026. Chapter 4 of John begins by talking about the journey Jesus and his disciples embark on between Judea in the southern part of the country and Galilee in the northern part. There were multiple routes between Judea and Galilee and compelling reasons for a Jewish person to consider both. One route, not an uncommon one, was to go through the somewhat hostile territory called Samaria. This was the fastest route, but it put Jews in contact with a people they often considered lower than them or unclean. There are times when it seems Jesus and his disciples didn't take this route. The other route was longer, but avoided Samaria. It was on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Knowing that there are two routes, both viable for different reasons, makes John chapter 4, verse 4 somewhat interesting. John writes, "Now he had to go through Samaria." Why did Jesus have to go through Samaria? He had geographical options. The story tells us that they hung out in this Samaritan town for 2 days, so he didn't take this route because he was in a rush. But something compelled him to take this route. There are some who say Jesus knew that this woman would be there through divine foreknowledge. That isn't something the text indicates, and I worry that this theory does injustice to the reality of Jesus' humanity and dependence on the relational connection with the Father. I think what we can fairly say is that something in Jesus compelled him to go this specific route. And my guess is that once he started to interact with the woman, or maybe only after his interaction with the woman, he understood why he had to go through Samaria. We like to think we are agents of full free will. In some sense we are, however, there are all kinds of things, our pasts, our trauma, our pleasures, our desires, that shape us and give drive to our choices and direction. Just because we believe in Jesus and the efficiency of his death and resurrection doesn't mean the things driving us have changed. One of the invitations of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is to partner with God in the reshaping of ourselves, our mind, and our hearts so that the things compelling us are aligned with the heart of God. This includes the messages we tell ourselves about both God and ourselves. This includes being open and sensitive to the inner stirrings of the Spirit of Christ. We are compelled by messages, voices, and urgings beyond our control, and we have free will as to whether or not we will follow their lead or not. We even have free will to partner with God in changing what we are compelled by. A great example of this is the man we call the Apostle Paul. At one point, he was compelled by religion and jealousy to pursue Christians and to try to stamp out this new Jesus-centered faith. After a dramatic encounter with Jesus and an extended time being formed within a Christian community, he went out sharing a message which invited people to be reconciled to God through Jesus. His life and teaching put him in danger, at risk of beatings and execution. But he says in 2 Corinthians 5 that he was compelled to do this work. What compelled him? Not guilt. Not wanting to be heard, not a desire to be famous in the church and be known as the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, not fear. None of those things drove him. Instead, he says, Christ's love compels us. That's in 2 Corinthians 11:14. He had been reshaped from the inside out to be compelled by Christ's love instead of the things of his past. This included at times being compelled simply through being sensitive to the Spirit. We see this in Acts 16, where it says the Spirit of Christ didn't let them go one direction, and then through a dream, they were called to go another direction. My point is this: we are all compelled by something. Jesus was ultimately compelled to go this route through Samaria. Whether or not he had some foreknowledge about this woman, it came through sensitivity to the Father's leading. As you go through your journey, what is compelling you forward? This is often hard to discern because the things compelling us are so deeply rooted in our psyche that we need help unpacking them. But it is important to consider, because the more we can be aware of what's compelling us, the more we can work in partnership with God to put off the things that aren't aligned with God's heart and pay attention to the things, people, messages, and promptings that are. If you're interested in exploring this more with me, I'd be glad to sit with you. I'm certainly no expert in this. In fact, I'm a relative novice on this journey. But if you're looking for a fellow traveler thinking about these things, feel free to reach out. In the meantime, though, maybe a good place to start is by praying for God to show you, lead you, and guide you on your journey. You could start by regularly and with thought praying the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. There, we are taught to ask God to lead us, not into temptation, but with deliverance from evil. Going through life with eyes up and sensitive to the Spirit's lead is a good first step. And sometimes we'll find ourselves compelled to go somewhere or do something, and we don't know why. We don't know what is leading us. That's just fine. If we follow while keeping in step with the Spirit of Christ, like Jesus, we might just find ourselves in a conversation with someone when we and they least expect it.